Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Important stuff here, and that goes beyond Lee Smith's status through 6 weeks. Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here on WGR. I'm a magician, apparently, but I'm like a magician that doesn't really know exactly how to undo the spell. All right, just stop, Mike. So I finally have like a real mask, guys. It's Amherst Knights hockey, my daughter's hockey team. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. Like, it's a nice mask. It's not the paper ones you throw out, and it's not the piece of my T-shirt that my daughter made into a mask when this all started. It's like a real one. Somebody bought this. And so I have glasses. I put it on. I'm wearing my glasses, right? Mm-hmm. Sal, do you wear glasses? I don't think I see you in glasses.
I've never worn glasses. They actually hurt my eyes. I have very good eyesight, actually.
That's about to end.
But
excellent for you.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I'll tell you, there are these special glasses just for when you have, you know, when you look at a computer screen. As you guys know, you can use those. Mm-hmm. And my wife actually recently got those for everyone, including Max, and just said, you know, just it'll help the strain on your eyes. But I feel very uncomfortable wearing them. But maybe in the long run it would work, but I've never worn glasses.
You're about to. You're a year away. Because I was not expecting the doctor to tell me, well, at 50 you will definitely have, worse vision. Anyway, I'm not 50 yet, but I put the mask on with the glasses on, and then to take it off, I have to take the glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
You know this one?
Oh yeah, it's a whole process.
How does that happen? How does the mask get tangled up with the what? What's the word?
String.
No, the side, the so
yeah,
stupid.
The
glasses.
I don't know, but it does. There's also a fogging. You get some fogging. You got to position the glasses just so, for me anyway, the bottom of my glasses overlap on top of the mask. Otherwise, when I'm breathing with a mask on, like say in the grocery store, it just goes right up and fogs my glasses up and makes my glasses pretty much useless.
I do wear sunglasses a lot, and both of those things happen to me actually a lot.
Okay. Like, you got to pinch the mask so you try to keep the fogging from happening, but I don't understand how I'm wrapping the mask string around the end of the glasses just by putting it out over my ears, because I take it off. I always have to take the glasses off. There's something weird to me about that. All right. Let's just skip Lee Smith. There's no time for that now. Quentin Spain. So, Sal, I don't know what you know, but I know what you've written and that the Bills have released him. There's a dead cap number that seems significant. There are injuries up front, so it's curious. Do you suspect, at least, that there is something more to their releasing him that goes beyond performance?
I suspect that Quentin Spain wasn't happy with his reduced role. And in fact, Brandon Bean actually has said that since to ESPN. His quote said, "I don't think that set well with him," meaning him losing his starting job. And then he made it clear and said, "Those are more my words." Brandon Bean said, "Not his words," meaning not Quentin Spain's words. But I believe that is the case. And anytime that's the case, I think you have to be careful of how that's going to permeate or what his attitude might be. I have no information whatsoever that he had any, you know, bad attitude necessarily in practice, in the locker room, coaches, nothing like that. But I do think that when even the GM admits in a quote and saying, I don't think it sat well with him losing his starting job, I think that can give you a little bit of a window into maybe what was going on. That happened, and then just a couple of weeks later, you know, he informs the team, and we find out literally, what, a half hour before the inactives are due, that he has a foot injury, or his foot soreness is going to keep him out of a Tennessee Titans game, which that's against his former team. And, you know, that seemed a bit odd for the team to even put it out that way, which was that he has informed the team that he has foot soreness. He will be added to the injury report and act inactive tonight. And then, you know, he didn't play last week. So it just seems like there's a lot there. And sometimes when there's a lot there, it's better to just move on so it doesn't become even more there.
Well, for them, yeah. For us, I never want to stop talking about this until we figure out what the hell happened.
Sure.
Like, what his performance-wise, Sal, I mean, I've not gone back over the first two games and broken down the play of the left guard, okay? Newsflash. But, like, how warranted was it? And especially now, considering that they've got injuries there. I mean, this is accompanied by Cody Ford being out weeks, who was the left guard who took Spain's place. Basically, they moved him from one side of the line to the other. How did you think he played in the first 2 weeks when he had a chance to play?
I didn't think he played spectacularly well, but I don't think he was alone in that. I think that the offensive line has struggled at a lot of times this year. I didn't think he played. He didn't stand out, and you know, when he was put to the bench and Cody Ford was put to left guard, it wasn't like, oh my God, what are they doing? This guy has played really well. To me, that was more about Cody Ford than it was Quentin Spain, but of course it was about both of them, right? I mean, you don't make that move if you're paying the guy $5 million a year and it's only been two games. But to me, it was, okay, we have to find a way to get Cody Ford on the field, and they must have felt we want him at guard, and we just don't feel the level of play to Quentin Spain has been up to par, which I totally understand that, because I don't think it was necessarily up to par for a lot of guys along the offensive line. I thought Darrell Williams might have struggled early on. I think he's played a little bit better as of late. But so to what you said now about you go forward here, and now Ford is injured, and on top of that, you still make this move when you have Quentin Spain. I think that can also give us a little insight into he was not in their plans anymore. It's just as simple as that. They must have decided, like, we're just not going to do this. We have another plan here. Even though Cody Ford's injured, we're not going to go down that road with Quentin Spain anymore. That ship has sailed. Ike Butker actually came in the game and played for Cody Ford when he was injured on Monday. So I think that even though Cody Ford was hurt, I don't think Quentin Spain was ever truly an option after that happened.
Yeah, it's weird, though, that they signed him, right? Like, it's a quick turn of events when you sign the player like this, and then, like, when would you ever be done like this when you're not deep in the first place if there weren't, I mean, if I need to say so, I think there's something else here, too. I don't know who's to blame for it or who's responsible for it, but, geez, right? Like, why would you sign the player? Well, it's not why would you sign him. It's that you've signed him. Since you've signed him, to bail like that and pay the cap penalty and everything is just something they must have thought was serious.
You never know what happens with guys. You know, once, you know, anything can always change something, right? But he gets paid. He's here. Maybe he wasn't doing what they thought in the off season, or he comes in and he's more out of shape, which I find hard to believe considering he won like their award for like, they have some belt that he showed off on Twitter that he won, you know, from the team, you know what I mean? So I doubt that was it, but you just never know how these things sour. You never know what happened. And as far as the penalty is concerned, there is a penalty this year, and there's a slight one next year. But to be honest with you, Mike, the contract was structured that I would have been surprised if he actually would have been in Buffalo after this year unless he played really well. Like, once they put him to the bench, I was pretty convinced he was only going to be in Buffalo for one more year, like this year. There's no way to me they're keeping him on the bench at the salary he's making when you can get out of that contract pretty easily. As I wrote today at our website, I was in contact with Michael Giannetti from SpotTrack just to get some clarification. He tweeted some stuff out, but he told me too, just to make sure, they're going to save a lot more money on the cap than anything they cost. It will be a $1 million cap hit next year. It is a $4 million cap hit essentially this year, which you do have to eat, but that kind of doesn't matter at this point. But next year, you're going to be clearing. In fact, over the next 2 years combined, you're clearing about $10 million in salary cap space.
Well, you need him. You don't need him. You just this year is in play. Like it's this season, and they're, you know, not deep or really good right there right now. So we'll see what they do. Like with the story about Ryan Fitzpatrick, all right, well, he's been doing well, but I get it. You'd better, this guy better do well, right? Like you've got a season going and that's it for the Bills. Like they might have someone else in mind who they'll bring in or whatever it'll be, but.
Well, they do have an option here coming up, and that is John Feliciano.
Right.
I mean, I think I think that John Feliciano, to me, makes this a lot easier to swallow from the standpoint of on the field because of, let's go back to what we just said about, okay, so Cody Ford gets hurt. You're like, wait a minute, but you're releasing your backup to Cody Ford, who was your starter and you know played well last year. But let's remember, John Feliciano is eligible to be activated from the injured reserve, and if he isn't activated by next Tuesday, they basically lose him. Now, I haven't had clarification on if they lose him for three more weeks or if it's for the season because there is no season-ending IR this year. It complicates matters. But I would actually tell you that I assume him to be activated either this week or next week because they did start that clock on him. They were comfortable enough with him practicing starting back on October 7th. From there, he gets 21 days. So if you count the 7th, that takes you to the 27th. All right, so let's just say he gets activated by Sunday, John Feliciano. Now he becomes your starting right guard, and Brian Winters probably goes to left. I mean, you could put Feliciano at left guard. He's played there, but his spot on the Bills roster has primarily been right guard. They also have Darrell Williams if they really wanted to move him inside, and Ty Nsekhe could play right tackle. Oh, I guess what I'm saying is they do have options here. It wasn't like Quentin Spain releasing him puts them in some sort of hole. The Feliciano activation gives them a lot more options.
It's really interesting. I think, you know, McDermott has earned a lot of trust, I assume from the players, of course. But even from out here, I think, you know, like, okay, well, they know what they're doing. But it feels a little bit to me like he's really taken that for a spin this week because you benched trusted veteran guys, one of whom busted his butt to get back from an injury in Phillips and then Trent Murphy last week. And now this move with Spain, I mean, I don't know the politics and how popular a teammate he is, but there's been pretty rocky here in Bills land for a couple days with some veterans kind of getting smacked.
Agreed. I think this has been a time to test that, you know, in the locker room. Sean McDermott tests, you know, the resolve of the team, something that is very important to this group, to this regime, something that, you know, they preach on. And, you know, I have no indication that anything's going wayward, but I do agree with you. I think that this has been kind of the first sign of, okay, how do you handle this, right? How do you get through this? Because there's ways to go about that. There's ways not to go about that. Look what's happening in Dallas. We're getting all these quotes from players, anonymous players or whoever, you know, just trashing their coaching staff since Monday night. You know, we haven't had that. Even Quentin Spain thanked the Bills on his way out today, right? So we haven't necessarily had any of that, and I don't expect any of that. And to be honest with you, knowing Sean McDermott the way I do and covering him now for the last 3+ years, I think he's very good at the way he goes about the relationships he has with players. And he did talk with Trent Murphy, and he did talk with Harrison Phillips, and he was asked about that, and he said they handled it like professionals. But you know, he's going to have a honest, candid conversation with them about why they're not going to play. It's not going to come out of the blue necessarily, you know, when they're going to hear it in the media, I would think. So I think he has a good way about him to do that. But I also agree, Bulldog, that, you know, it's been a challenging couple of weeks because when you lose and those things are happening, it makes it a lot more challenging. Now, they do have the Jets here. I think a lot of people, you know, expect them to, you know, have a game where they don't have to even play their best and they're going to get a win, and that can fix a lot of things. But, you know, this is an interesting time, I think, for the last few weeks for the Bills.
Would you care to say a little bit more about this point about McDermott and players? Because I could learn from this, and I'd like to hear what – I'm not sure specifics are possible, but say – let me just – I'll just talk. Rex Ryan, he was, of course, McDermott's predecessor, and, you know, you would hear players coach, which I usually in sports take to mean he's not rigid. Like he's going to let you do you, if you will. And I don't know that I've heard McDermott called a player's coach, but I've certainly heard you say, and I have heard other people say, like, I would say it myself probably, like that he has shown a pretty good touch with that. I mean, I'm not watching him talk to players, but I feel like that's probably right. But would you say player's coach, or is that a misinterpretation of that term? Because I feel like Rex, he kind of got criticized for it, right? Like he would be pretty loose. And so what's the opposite? What's the opposite of loose? What's the opposite of, you know, rigid? These kinds of definitions. I want to be more accurate with what I know about McDermott in this area.
Okay, well, I think that the words you can use, Mike, are consistent and trust. I think those are the words that come to my mind when I think about the way Sean McDermott is viewed by his players. And I really think that that was kind of borne out in last week against the his mentor, Andy Reid. Even asked Andy Reid what's call about. There were a lot of questions about Sean to Andy and about Andy to Sean going into last week. And the one word that really kept coming up was consistency. And, you know, Sean will basically tell you the reason why Andy Reid is so liked by his players, respected by his players, is he is consistent. He will make a tough choice, but they'll respect him for it because they understand why he's doing that, and he'll be upfront and honest with them. And I think Sean has taken those cues. Look, you're right. There is a way to go about it. I would not call Sean McDermott a player's coach. I wouldn't do that because I agree. I think a player's coach is, hey, I really love playing for this guy, and he kind of lets me be myself. And I'm not saying Sean McDermott does that, but I think Rex Ryan, he does all of that, but he's probably not as consistent either. You know what I mean? He's not as, I think players probably see, you know, in fact, I think there was a quote I read Rex Ryan had said one time, something like he might have been joking or whatever, but it kind of gives you insight. It's the bus leaves, the bus, what is it? The bus sticks around for no one, .. unless you're really good. You know what I mean? Like that's, okay, so he's saying like, hey, we're not going to wait on you. Well, you know what? If he's really good, we're going to wait on him, right? Now, and I think that that's what the way Rex Ryan approached it, which, and I've always said this, the difference. To me, there's a big difference between Rex and Sean McDermott in this regard. And I noticed this really kind of right away, which is, I think Rex Ryan really values like his star players and what they can bring to the table. And he's going to make sure they're ready to go and all that. And I don't believe, and I always felt, and I've said this before on the record, I don't think Rex Ryan necessarily and his staff coached the bottom end of the roster nearly the same, because it was about the star players and those guys, you know, making sure that they do what they're supposed to do and we'll be okay. That is not the philosophy of Sean McDermott at all. Sean McDermott and his coaching staff believe in coaching every single player. That the back end of the roster is extremely important because those guys are going to have to play for you at some point. And those guys are going to have to, it's not about necessarily even favoritism and that kind of thing. It's about we're building a team and they're part of the team. And I don't care if you're the star guy or the 53rd guy, you might cost us a game if you're not up to speed on what we're supposed to do. And I think that's a big difference in how these guys approach their jobs. And I think players recognize that and they understand that. And they feel because of that, that no matter where they fall on the roster, they're important to Sean McDermott.
Well, you want to go Bulldog here? I mean, I like the conversation. I wish it were an hour longer.
Yeah, no, I'm getting tempted to like sort of, well, so what's the news today? Is there anything?
I know. Well, can I just say then, because you're right to have that instinct, I think, but it's tough. Like Rex is the comparison because Rex was the last coach, but he's on the extreme, right? I mean, you talk about consistency or lack thereof or player's coach. Like Rex Ryan is maybe one of the first football coaches you would think of who was that way anywhere, not just the Bills. And maybe McDermott is the same thing on the other end. And I mean, I don't think one is right or one is wrong, right? You have a lot of guys.
Agreed.
You know, and it's 50 plus guys on the roster. And there are times when the coach who's the player's coach needs to use discipline. And there's probably times when the other coach, the McDermott type coach, has to maybe bend the rules for somebody. You know, like, I don't know. Sure. That's probably happened, right? He's in his fourth year.
Well, look, Mike, I think a lot of times I'll draw on my experience as a teacher, which is when I was a high school teacher and I had 30 kids in my classroom. You know, it's on me to make sure that I'm understanding each individual personality and how to connect to them. And sometimes you get it wrong. And, you know, you have certain rules, right? Here's the rules for the classroom. You can't touch someone. You know, you can't yell. Right? Raise your hand when you want to talk. But guess what? If Johnny over here has a really big issue and I need to deal with him, I might have to do it in a way different way than I have to with Tommy over here, right? And I think that's, to me, the sign of a great coach, is how you can understand that and make sure that you can navigate through that. It's the same thing when people say to me all the time, they need a screamer or they need a guy who's not. Look, Tony Dungy didn't scream at people. He was a great coach and won a Super Bowl, right? Mike Ditka, he did scream at people. He also was a great coach and won a Super Bowl. I mean, there is not one way to do it. To me, it's about managing personalities is what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right. So news today, anything encouraging, anything discouraging, anything we need to know from it was a pretty light looking workout, right?
It was, yeah. The rain came down a little bit. They had, I think, maybe a jog through, I guess, because they didn't have, you know, helmet and shoulder pads and things like that. And it is just a couple of days after their game on Monday, so I think they want to get them to get their legs back and their body back and things like that. John Brown did not practice today. We don't know exactly where that stands. You know, we'll see this week. Matt Milano, he was limited today. Cam Lewis was limited. I feel so bad for that kid. I mean, first play of the game, I noticed he went up and he tried to jack up Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he kind of came up with his arm was kind of hanging. He went back out there a little bit. He comes out later, and then he has to go to the locker room. Now, today he had it looked like an oven mitt. He was wrapped up so much on his wrist, but he was out there, you know, and I just give him a lot of credit for, you know, trying to fight through whatever it is. Yeah. Terrell Dodson did not practice with the hamstring.
Brown, you texted me, and I know you said this on the broadcast of the game Monday night. Brown looked hindered most of Monday night, right?
Yes, he did. And, you know, there is a point where you say, like, is someone hurting the team? And you never want to say, like, I don't know. That's not for me to decide. That's for John Brown's body and the coaches to decide and things like that. But he could not get away from people. He just couldn't. And I know he wanted to battle. And I don't know. What I don't know was I didn't notice it on the first couple of plays. I wasn't watching for it. After the flea flicker, I did notice it, and that was early on. So I don't know if he got hurt on that play, like re-aggravated something, but something wasn't right with him from that time on, at least.
Sal, thanks. Very interesting conversation, as usual.
Thanks, guys.
Sal Capaccio's appearance with us there on the Western Hotline, by the way, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
803-0550, McDermott, the Bills. Also talking Ryan Fitzpatrick a little bit earlier today with his being benched on a Miami team where he's doing well and they're doing pretty well. So we have a lot of interesting things again today to talk about football-wise. And if you want to give us a call and maybe ask a question or comment on some of this stuff, please do. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. World Series Game 2 tonight after our show here on WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
This is the first round pick. This is a decision that was going to happen. This is the future. And so the choice of the guys in the locker room is get in line or get out. The Dolphins are a young team. A lot of the roster is spending time figuring out how they can stay in the league, not necessarily figuring out why the coach is making decision A, B, or C. It's a unique situation, and the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick also has great respect for Tua and will also get in line, that will basically set the default mechanism for the whole rest of the locker room, and it won't be a problem. At least the team doesn't expect it to be.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Armando Salguero on the change in Miami. All four AFC East teams are interesting in their own ways. Maybe it's all 32. I don't know. Test me. Find me a team that's boring. Detroit is always kind of boring. Maybe. They just always are. There, I found one. But all four in the AFC East, the Bills and their start and what happens now, New England and their transition here, are they bad? Then you have the Dolphins, interestingly good, making that move anyway. Maybe you thought they wouldn't do that because they were having a season. Their point differential is way better than the Bills so far, even having lost to them. And then you have the Jets, who are the worst team of all time. You have four interesting teams here.
Yep. I think the Dolphins right now, like, just because of the timing of the move, I think they're the most interesting story right now, because they're 500. So they could feel that they're running a race. They've replaced a very popular guy with a guy that I presume is also going to be popular or already is, like Tua. I don't think he's going to want for people to support him. But you've got, like, mixed into everything that's gone on, you've got, like, how Fitz sounded publicly about it today. And I think, like, that is the sort of thing. It's funny, we were having this conversation with Sal last segment about, you know, the Bills and Sean McDermott sort of taking his trust factor out for a spin here with how he's handled some veteran guys here in the last few days. And, you know, I think there probably is some reaction in Miami or just around the NFL to how Fitz sounded today. Like, oh man, are they going to have trouble in that locker room now because Fitz sounds like despondent and he sounds mad? I think that's how those things read when you read them. Like, I listen to Fitz, and I believe he's being honest with you, but I think he's also a pro. Like, I think he also knows the score, and I would expect that as much as he's talking about being blindsided and heartbroken, that he'll pick himself up and go do his job, which is to support Tua Tagovailoa now. And if there is an issue in the team within the team, I would expect Fitz to be the kind of guy that would fix it. You're like, guys, don't worry about me. I'm good. You know, I wanted to be your quarterback, but let's help this guy. Let's do it. Like, that's how much I think of him. Like, I wouldn't expect him to be sitting around being a problem. But I wonder. I don't know how much reaction. You know, I saw the comments from Fitz. I'm sort of anticipating that vibe might be out there, but I would expect Fitz to quell it pretty quickly if it is.
Trade him to Dallas. Trade him anywhere, but Dallas is just like, for fantasy, you know, that'd be really cool. And plus, as much as you might hate Dallas, like, they're 2-4 but in first place, and he's never been to the playoffs. We talked about this with Eric Wood yesterday. Like, how cool would that be? Would you think he might light it up, like 400 yards a week or something playing for that team? I don't know. Easier said than done, probably. Prescott's really good. You saw the drop-off. 803-0550 is the number. Here is Greg on WGR. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Shope and the Bulldog. First off, you guys are the best. Listen to you guys every day.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Yeah, really. I mean, each of you have bring something so unique to the show. Freaking awesome. Anyways, wanted to talk about why is Yeldon not getting in the game ever? You know, they're having trouble with the running game. And nothing's happening, and they're bringing in Moss, who's not doing anything, and it just seems like every time they bring Yeldon in, he does his job, he goes off, and I don't understand it. Anything up around in Buffalo talking about maybe he doesn't get along with McDermott, or...
I don't know. What have we got? We've got Yeldon played against Tennessee with Moss out, and played a little bit, and then a little bit of garbage time. Caught a touchdown pass. He's got a little bit of a career, but is not like a big investment. And the other two guys are more of an investment. Singletary coming off a nice rookie season. Moss, a third-round pick. Moss has not been impressive. He's not only been hurt, but he's not been impressive.
That's right. I don't know. I doubt. I think if T.J. Yeldon didn't get along with people, particularly the head coach, he wouldn't be here. So I would strike that. I think Moss. You. I think expect Moss. Moss is the more talented player. I don't even think it's that close. Now, what does that mean? I mean, you're not getting anything. I think the problems that you're seeing Singletary have are largely are like line related, and I would say the same thing about Moss. Although Moss has just not looked as quick as Singletary, even, and not that he was supposed to be, but it's noticeable to me when he gets the ball as opposed to Singletary, and that's not a good place to be. I don't know. I don't know how much longer like you would keep going with Moss as the number two back. To me, Singletary's done nothing to deserve being replaced as the number one guy. You know, to say Yeldon performed, I mean, he had a couple of short yardage carries that converted in Tennessee. You know, and a catch here or there. It's not, I don't feel like I'm getting some great upgrade when he's been in there, and like, how can the Bills coaches not see that it's so apparent? I don't agree with that. But as far as Moss goes, I'd say Moss, as a rookie, is on borrowed time to continue getting carries and maybe even being active in place of Yeldon, because Moss has not really done anything yet.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Is there rumblings in Buffalo about McDermott's ability to pick really good draft choices?
No. He's not the GM. Thanks, Greg. You know, they've gotten a lot of credit, and I have, you know, shared in that, in what they've built. But the pressure's on a little bit now. The Bills are thought to have a nice roster. And, you know, so they'd better win. For all the love the quarterback gets, and for all of that, you know, I feel like it's justified. I don't know how I sound right now, but I think it's on the table. I think what this team is, as this season plays out, is really an interesting thing. And so you have the big question all the time of, like, well, what if I have a great defense and I have great skill guys, but my quarterback isn't that good? What does that amount to? Or vice versa. And it really did look like the Bills had most of the roster right, with the Diggs trade, with Jefferson and Addison adding to a defense that had been good. It is a curiosity right now that they're struggling in the ways that they are. Injuries, but, you know, Moss is not somebody who really was expected to struggle. You know, like, he was a good college player. And what's going on? And Singletary, I might disagree with you a little bit on him. Like, some of it is up to the running back to make work. And, like, it's going really badly. And that's where I'll go with the caller on Yeldon, which is just to say, if they wanted to do that this week because they can't run the ball, I mean, I'm not going to criticize them for it.
I would be stunned if it happened, and I think I might criticize them. I think Singletary is that much better, but they're in the mode of making changes. What they did with the starting, you know, with the active players on Monday against Kansas City tells you that. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of question right now. Like, I know you're going to be waiting when I get done saying all this to tell me the defense doesn't matter because it's about scoring points. And like, I understand, but I mentioned this while we talked to Austin Gale earlier. I read today the Bills have more money invested in their defensive line than any team in the league. That team gave up 245 yards rushing on Monday night. Like, I don't care if you're playing your safeties in Sloan instead of Orchard Park. You've got talented guys up there. Oliver is a cornerstone, supposedly. Edmonds is a cornerstone. I mean, and there are injuries on both guys, right? Oliver had a knee, looked like a hyperextension, and Edmonds has, like, a shoulder issue that he's battling through. But they've got to get right up there. Because there's investment there, and that investment should not be getting run over, no matter how hard you're trying to take away Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Well, that's a really, I mean, okay, I'm not ready to say the thing you thought, but then I couldn't anyway, because you shot it down before I could. I mean, what if I did it?
See what I did there?
What's that worth? Like, the question, after having gotten done paying today's compliment to them about the build of their team, I think that issue is, well, what's that worth to you? Like, those are guys who in different ways have been known to be good players. Like, what's it worth to you to build your team like that? First round picks on defensive linemen and linebackers. I mean, you got to pick somebody. trading a first for Stephon Diggs seemed like a great idea. You know, at least they didn't spend it on another linebacker or something.
Yeah, I don't mind that investment. I'm not even necessarily for continuing to do that. It's just that they have poured premium assets into that defense, and they are getting garbage results right now.
So let's go. Let's coach them up. Yeah. That's what we want to see. Let's coach them up. 803-0550 to reach us. Greg, thank you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
The The reason why when you see grown men cry when they hold that trophy at the end of the year is because it's hard, right? It's hard, man, to get to where you're trying to go. It's never easy. We were 15-1 in my career at one point, and it wasn't easy then either. We're 4-2 right now. That's in the past. What we can control is what's ahead of us, our attitude, our effort, our energy, our preparation. And we're going against a Jets team that certainly has struggled this year at times, but they're a good football team with talent on that roster. And we've got to earn the right to win this week as we move forward.
Oh, he was on his way. He was on his way to actually a real take about the Jets, but then he quickly caught himself and said they're a, quote, good football team, end quote. Got to even have the word football in there. Football people always want to tell you the sport they're talking about. Oh, so much potential there. They've struggled this season. I mean, that's blazing hot for an actual coach. Yeah. It's ice cold for one of us. It's ridiculous right, for anyone right, not right. working in the league, but it's par for the course yeah. for an actual coach. He had it, Bulldog. The ball was rolling toward the hole at the perfect speed, and then it just rimmed out.
Mm-hmm. It happens sometimes. I want to add a little footnote to my what I was saying last segment, and I've mentioned it twice today, that the money the Bills have poured into the defensive line. Our buddy Tony on Twitter tweeted at me this, and it makes sense. He says, be careful that amount of money they've poured into the D-line probably or could include Star Latulele at $10 million a year, and he's not here. And that's a big void. We talked some about that yesterday. So that's a piece to just sort of an addendum to everything I was just saying there. Like that's the highest paid guy. That's the biggest cap hit of the bunch, I think. And he's not there because he opted out.
Listen, it's a fine point. How much you spend on players always can come back to you in the conversation. What does it say about, you know, your ability to evaluate players and those sort of things? I mean, lots of contracts are signed because, like, well, you need somebody and this guy's available, so let's do it. So it isn't perfect, but it's something. I just think the overall point for me, and this is what you sort of, I guess, you assumed I would say earlier. The overall point for me is good luck keeping your defense good for more than a year. And this has been two where they've been good, if not longer. And it's just, you're what are you seeing here this year? You're seeing a different schedule. You're seeing rules interpreted differently. You're seeing a couple of injuries to the wrong guys. And that can be it. And now you're playing Kansas City and you want to give them the running game because you don't know if you can survive otherwise. I mean, he's credible, McDermott. He's credible in this area. He's trying to win, and so I just feel like, yes, but, right? Yes, but. The way, this is the way it goes. And coach them up, right? There we are again. You've got some talent. You've got all this investment. You've got your reputation. Go coach them up.
That's it.
That's it.
I don't need to add anything to that. Yeah, I mean, I think this is really, you know, the crux of whatever, however argumentative I've been about, like, the plan for this past Monday's game against Kansas City. It's mostly me bristling at him getting credit, McDermott getting credit for this plan that held the Chiefs to 26 points. You know, I do think they sort of played for a field goal on that last drive anyway, and if they needed a touchdown, maybe they would have got one. And almost every time they needed to pass the ball, they did and were successful. So, like, I know 26 points against Kansas City is a good job, and I only scored 17, and that's my bigger problem. But McDermott has got a resume, and he's got this job for a reason. And his defense right now is underperforming the money they're paying and the talent that they've invested in. And he needs to fix that. Like, that's his job, is to fix that. He can turn the offense loose and have Josh Allen fill the air with footballs, and we love it. It's great. It's entertaining, and it's the way to win. But you got to be better than 245 yards on the ground. Like, I know that wasn't his plan, but it just, he didn't want to give up 245 yards going into the game. But he just sort of blew it off. And I just want to raise my hand and go, you're a defensive coach, and you've spent a lot of assets building this defense. And, you know, I think you need better results than what you're getting.
Watch out if the Jets do anything on Sunday.
Yep.
Anything. Look at them. Now the kicker is hurt. Not only did Jamison Crowder unexpectedly appear on the injury report today, which often means or usually means he was injured in practice. I mean, haven't the Titans proved already that these practices are counterproductive? But teams are still doing it. I don't know. Crowder, their only seemingly useful offensive player, and now the kicker, Ficken, is his name, and he was also added to the injury report from today. Those injuries were not mentioned by the coach before practice, which seems to imply that they weren't hurt before practice. Great. Do you give up anything to this team? It might look bad. 803-0550, where do you stand? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.